Rod, hi. Good, good. Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tim Knox. My lovely wife Colleen and I have been married for 39 years. We've been members here at this church for 22 years. I had to look that up, not the 39 years, the 22 years. We live with two basset hounds, Copper and Penelope. We have six children, because I consider my own kids, their spouses are kids too. And so far we are overwhelmingly and exceedingly blessed with five grandchildren, a four-year-old granddaughter, two three-year-old twin boys, and two 10-month-old twin boys. Very active. I've been teaching elementary age Sunday school since the 1980s. So I have lots of experience in that way. Yeah, thank you. And like you heard, this is my first sermon, so I may have that deer in the headlights look here sometimes. But to kind of make it a little more comfortable for me, this sermon may seem like a third grade Sunday school class, hopefully light and fun. And Rod, if you have to use the restroom, please raise your hand before you go. Okay. Jack, if there's any talking in the back, I may have to separate you. Okay, all right. Each summer when the congregational sermon series comes up, I've noticed that when others who are preaching, they always try and find something meaningful, and they do. They find something very meaningful. But when I hear that sermon series come up, I always try and think of the most obscure or funny character or subject to do. Like last year that I chickened out on, I was thinking of doing the guy that fell out of the back window when Paul was preaching into the night. I thought that would be appropriate for long session meetings. You could all relate to it. Well, this year with the Old Testament minor figures, God kicked me with the idea of Balaam's donkey. That's right, I'm doing a sermon on a talking donkey. Some of you may say, well, that's not much of a stretch, but here we go. Woo. So this year, in a moment of foolishness or bravery, I cornered Bill right after church, so before I could back out. So if this sermon is a complete bust, or if I say something unagreeable, and I might, don't blame Bill. But just so you know, we do have a complaint hotline. It's the church number, extension 1. I also want to thank John back there for his technical and moral support for this, getting the pictures up there just right, so I appreciate it. So here we go. So a good way to start, I think, would be by opening in prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we read and examine your holy word, let the protective shell we place around ourselves dissolve so that our hearts will be opened. May the words from this mouth and the meaning of this story have an impact. May it touch someone here who needs your loving, never going to let you go embrace. And Lord, may a shared laugh from this story lift us closer to the joy you want for us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's the scripture text for this morning. It comes from Numbers 22:21-35. And mine is just fun enough to be a little bit different. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding his donkey, and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, she turned off the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards, with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. The angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me." The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If she had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared her. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only what I tell you." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. May God bless the reading of his word. Most of the time when an angel appears, what's the first thing we hear? Usually, "Fear not," but not here. The first thing the angel says is, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times?" God notices how we treat our animals. See how the donkey was faithful to Balaam three times, even though she was beat three times. She saved his life. Those of us who have pets know this, but sometimes it seems like we don't deserve some of the faithful animals that have been in our lives. We all know donkeys. They have a reputation of being gentle and sometimes a little stubborn. They were one of the later domesticated animals after cattle and sheep and were used as beasts of burden, kind of like little utility tractors. Researchers think they originated from the African wild donkey, which are still found in some parts of Africa, and were first domesticated in Egypt around 3000 BC. Scientifically, they are known as Equus africanus asinus. Now, where does Balaam's donkey fit in biblical history? This is a story associated with the Israelites near the end of their 40-year wandering in the wilderness. You ever wonder about this 40-year wandering in the wilderness? I Google mapped how long it would take to drive by car from Cairo to Jerusalem. If you go from Cairo down here to, anciently it was called Eilat. It takes about 5.5 hours, and then from there up to Jerusalem, it's about 4.5 hours. If I was driving, it's taking me that long, I'd probably ask for directions. So obviously there was a purpose, God's purpose, in staying in the wilderness. Remember, after Sinai, after the first year out of Egypt, Moses sent the 12 spies to reconnaissance the land of Canaan. Except for Joshua and Caleb, the other spies came back and were discouraged and then spread that discouragement throughout the people. It says that because of their lack of faith, that generation would not enter the promised land. They were punished. But you know, there were fierce battles ahead, and I think these people were just not ready for that. It took nearly 40 years of living in the presence of God to have the faith to conquer their promised land. The story of Balaam and his donkey takes place near the end of this 40-year Israelite toughening. They have just defeated the Amorites, and they've just defeated the king of the city of Bashan. They are a large and imposing group of people and are now camped in the plains of Moab, poised to enter the promised land through their next famous assault on Jericho. The king of Moab, Balak, is scared. This resounding horde are right in his backyard, and he sends emissaries to the famous seer, diviner, prophet, Balaam, son of Beor, who lives near the Euphrates River. Today, few of us have heard of this Balaam. There are several references to him in the New Testament, 2 Peter, Jude, Revelation, and there he is remembered infamously as someone who led Israel astray. But that's not our story for today. In 1967, at an archaeological site called Tel Deir Allah in Jordan, there was a discovery of ancient plaster wall covering fragments with writing on it dating from 750 BC with the words Balaam of Beor. Remember, our story takes place in roughly 1500 BC. They are still uncovering and analyzing what has been found, But this tells us that 700 years after Balaam lived, his words were still important enough to be memorialized and remembered on this wall in this location outside of Israel. So he's kind of an ancient big deal. Some scholars have speculated that Balaam's fourth oracle, as found later in Numbers, where he is blessing Israel, he says, "A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel." Does that sound like something we might read on the first lighting of the candle in Advent? His words may be part of the history of prophecies known in Mesopotamia concerning a mighty king to be born in Israel. Remember later, three smart guys, also from Mesopotamia, followed the star to Bethlehem at Christ's birth. But Balaam is a prophet for hire. King Balak of Moab has sent princes and riches for him to come and curse Israel. God has already told Balaam Israel is his people, and Balaam cannot curse them. Don't mess with Israel. Remember in Genesis 12:3, God promises Abram, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." But he goes on anyway, and here in these verses, his spiritual blindness is displayed. Balaam, the great seer of God's vision, cannot even see the angel of the Lord standing in his path, but his donkey can. The great reader of signs and omens sees no significance in his donkey's strange behavior, even though strange actions of animals were often regarded as omens in Mesopotamian divination. Today, think of animals acting strange just before an earthquake, or if you were to see a flock or murder of crows circling overhead. As a renowned specialist in this sort of thing, he ought to have seen the message God had for him. Instead, he has a fit of biblical road rage and beats his donkey. Then, to our amazement, but apparently not Balaam's, the donkey speaks. There we go. This would have seemed just as unlikely to ancient people as it does to us today, although with all the CG and animation and movies these days, I think we almost expect our animals to talk. Look how far talking animals have come in movies, from the 1940s and Donald O'Connor and the talking mule Francis Goes to West Point, or to the current remake of Lion King. She asks, "What have I done to make you beat me these three times? Am I not your own donkey, which you have ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" Now, in my research for this sermon, I have uncovered an ancient, previously lost manuscript titled The Donkey Chronicles. In it, the complete dialogue of the donkey is quoted. She further said, "You heard what the angel said. I saved your life. Hey, when it gets hot out, how about you put some shade up by my corral and maybe throw in a little barley in my feed, you cheapskate? And when that Shrek movie comes out, I better be included in the credits." Well, the Old Testament certainly sees inspiration in the supernatural act of God. If men are able to utter God's words, why can't an animal too? A key point of the story is that the donkey's acts and words foretell the future for Balaam. The humble donkey is a prophet to the mighty prophet Balaam. Balaam is the stubborn one, not the donkey. The donkey is caught three times between the angel's sword and Balaam's stick. Soon, Balaam will find himself, because he is staying on his chosen path, not God's, trapped between King Balak's demands and God's will. At this point of the story, though, Balaam is humbled and continued on his way with the intention of declaring God's word. How is God trying to get our attention? How is God trying to get through our stubbornness? It's a billboard to motivate men to go get checkups. When we are busy and focused on our own agenda, how is God making our donkey talk? My problem on my path is sometimes I don't listen to that still small voice of God urging me to do the right thing. But how do you know it's God's voice? I don't know. If that voice is telling me to go buy a lotto ticket, probably not him. Is that voice telling me to send a get well card? Yeah, that's probably him. Sometimes I don't listen because I don't think what I have to offer is good enough or will make much difference. Several weeks ago, Bryce shared an amazing story when he was up here preaching about a young man named Stephen who he met while preparing for his sermon. I've been praying and waiting for a powerful God intervention story like that one for my sermon, but sorry, it didn't come. So I just want to share two small illustrations, one a failure on my part, and the other a success that I think this shows how God worked when I heeded the donkey and when I didn't. Several years ago, I was a scoutmaster for Boy Scout Troop 58 that meets at St. Clair's in Canyon Country. I'd been retired from the troop for several years, and one of my old scouts called and asked me if I would talk about him at his Eagle Court of Honor. I'm ashamed to say, but I declined. I said I'd be happy to participate in the ceremony, but not speak. I didn't think I would have a good speech, and I was just kind of lazy, being a jerk. Well, we went. He had a family friend get up and talk about him. Now, this guy did his best, but I know if I had just been not been so stubborn and just put a small effort, my contribution, at least from my standpoint, would have been very meaningful. So I missed an opportunity to honor this young man who worked so hard and deserved more because I stayed on my own comfortable path. The second little vignette I'd like to share happened about 20 years ago at my office in Burbank. There was an older couple who immigrated here from Europe after World War II through a sponsorship program with Burbank First Press. They'd moved to Long Beach, but I still saw the husband at my dental office for several years. Later, he passed away. Their daughter was moving her mother up to Bakersfield to live with her. On the drive, she told her daughter she had a tooth problem. So with a tight schedule and short notice, they called. Now, I'd never seen, name was Mrs. Lipp, before, and would never see her again once she was in Bakersfield. But when they called, we made a little effort and made some room for her. In came this very frail little lady with a sore spot from her denture. It took less than 5 minutes to fix. It was nothing. But I will never forget her sweet face beaming up at me and saying, "Thank you. You are a miracle worker." We don't know the effect just one small act of kindness can have, whether it is some little thing we do for someone or a warm and heartfelt thank you. Jesus told us to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. My hope is that as God's people, we can be like Balaam's donkey and see and follow the Lord's path. And sometimes, even though we may get prodded by distractions, we hear what God is urging us to do and follow where he leads. Let me close with a little segue into our communion. As we are celebrating communion this morning, let's remember that at the beginning of that first Holy Week, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords entered Jerusalem humbly, as the prophet Zechariah foretold in chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." May God bless us by the hearing of his word. Amen.